I did a sermon more or less a year ago on the 24th of March where I spoke about overcoming intimidation. This morning I'm going to speak about it again. So if you, while I'm talking, if you really feel that this is something that you battle with, I recommend that you also listen to my sermon that I did on the 24th of March. Okay, if you forget the date, please just send me an email or let me know. But that day I touched on maybe a few different things than what I would speak on this morning. All right, so you actually need to see it as a package. You need to tackle this thing with kind of various solutions or tools or weapons. And this morning I'm going to touch on different things. All right, so you're very welcome to download that sermon if you feel that's necessary. So I want to ask you a few questions this morning. You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to do anything. I just want to get you thinking, and I want you to put yourself in certain situations and think, how would you react? All right? Have you ever looked at the people here, or the musicians on a Sunday morning, and think you really want to become part of this team, but you're just not good enough? They just up there, and you can't do it like them. Okay, you don't have to raise your hand, so you can all relax. I remember I joined Shofar Stellenbosch in 1995, long time ago. and I looked at the worship team, I looked at the band, and I thought, I really, really want to become part of them, but no ways. They're just way too good. So I was so intimidated, and I just kept quiet. I didn't tell anybody that I can play. And up until that stage, I only had a classical background. So, I mean, what we do in terms of worship music is not a classical thing. It's we use chords and we use chord structures to play music, which is in the one hand much easier, but in the other hand, could be more difficult if you only classically trained. But in any case, I ended up going to a small group, and then the one evening we were trying to worship without any instrument. Okay, a couple of us girls trying to worship, and I thought, this is not working. So, and there was a piano in the corner. It was in one of the girls' residences. I thought, I'm just now going to play. But I mean, I don't know why I decided to do that, because I didn't know the songs really. I was trying to make it up, you know, as we went along. I thought, oh my word, I've made a big mess. I've even now, you know, I thought we're not doing it properly, but now after I played, I thought, you know, it's even worse now. But in any case, I got a phone call from the pastor's wife a week later saying, I hear you can play piano. Do you want to join the band? You know, no audition, nothing. It was like, we need people. Do you want to play? And I think God just kind of, you know, pushed me into that, because at that stage, as I say, I was classically trained. The intimidation didn't stop after the phone call. I think it increased, because all of a sudden I had to swim. And I was really thrown into the deep end with this whole thing. But I just remember, you know, looking back 1 or 2 years later and just thinking, if I wasn't kind of pushed into that situation, I wonder where I would have been, you know, today. Because I was so intimidated by the whole situation that I couldn't get myself to tell them that I want to play and I want to be part of this. And a spirit of intimidation kept me from pursuing something that God wanted me to do. It kept me from a huge part of my future and my calling and my destiny. So, another example, how many of you ever look at people who speak in front of other people, like Adele did this morning with a testimony, or Yvette with the announcements, or me preaching in this morning? How many of you think, I'll do anything, I will bungee jump, but over my dead body, I'm not speaking over a mic? Okay, you don't have to raise your hands. I know there's lots of you, because I was in that position as well. And It's so easy to think it's your personality. You know, certain people speak in front of other people. It's the outgoing extroverts. But no, it's not for me. And, you know, I remember my first sermon ever I did. It was at Shepherd Tigerberg, 2005. I was sick afterwards. I felt sick. I remember we were planning to go on holiday the next day. And we were planning to pack. It was an evening service. We were supposed to pack. I was lying on the bed. Said to Andre, I feel sick. I couldn't do anything. I was just so stressed the very first time that I felt sick. Okay? There you have it. So it's not as if, you know, when people speak or when they bring a message or a testimony or when they have a mic, that it's all just easy and, you know, it's from the beginning and it's all just easy. So I just want to encourage you. You know, for me, it wasn't an easy road to do what I do today, but God has a way of choosing people that do not feel able and who must go through a time of breaking through that intimidation until you come to a point where you can actually enjoy it. So another example, have you ever received a phone call from a client and with maybe a technical issue or a complicated scenario and you blank? Okay? You blank, you don't know what to say to him, you're kind of freaked out, you intimidated, and you blank. I'm sure nobody of you have ever blanked before. I've blanked many times in my life before. I remember a phone call from a client. I still remember it to this day. It was one of the big listed companies in the Western Cape. The managing director phoned me with this really, really complicated transaction they wanted to do, and he wanted to have my advice on the accounting treatment. And I was like, God, I don't know what this man is talking about. And it wasn't necessarily that complicated. I was just so overwhelmed with the situation, you know, and he's over the phone, and I'm trying to figure out what they want to do. And I just scribbled a few things on paper, and I said, I'll get back to you, and you know, something like that. But I remember I was so, all of a sudden, when he phoned me, I was just so intimidated by the complexity and by my inability to immediately get to a solution. You know, and maybe some of you have experienced similar things at work, or maybe you just have clients or customers that sometimes they're intimidating. You know, sometimes we're just intimidated maybe by people who have lots of money. You know, it's just sometimes for some of us it's intimidating. We're intimidated by people who have lots of degrees, you know, masters, and they have their doctors. And, I'm not going to tell them what I have because it's just so intimidating, you know, all these clever people. You know, sometimes some of us girls, we get intimidated by another pretty girl. Okay, or maybe it's just me again, so don't worry. I'll just tell you all my stories this morning. I remember one girl. She was always perfectly, perfectly dressed. You know, one of those girls that always walk out of a fashion magazine, those girls. Jewelry, makeup, perfect. You know, and she was a sweet girl. A really, nobody in our church, so relax. She was a sweet girl, and she wasn't nasty to me at all, but she, all of a sudden, you know, in our getting to know each other, I just started feeling so intimidated, you know, by this perfect woman. And she did nothing wrong, but it was a spirit of intimidation coming for me, wanting to steal my confidence and my boldness. Made me feel so stupid, you know, made me feel like a Plas Macy. Not that there's anything wrong with a Plas Macy, but I was like, oh my word, Lord, she's just so intimidating. And I spoke to Andre about it, and he just laughed at me. He said, Sonika, please, please. You know, because it's interesting, a spirit of intimidation works through people, and different kind of people is intimidating to different kind of people. Okay, does it make sense? So I would find maybe somebody intimidating, and if I speak to a friend, that friend would tell me, really? Are you intimidated by that person? I'm intimidated by that person. You know, it's interesting how the devil seeks out a kind of personality or something that's going to be intimidating to you. All right, so it manifests in different ways. A spirit of intimidation manifests in many, many different ways. All right, so intimidation is a spirit. Intimidation is a spirit. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? It comes for you regardless of your personality, your experience, whether you're extrovert or introvert. It comes for all of us in different ways. Okay, maybe you're not intimidated by a specific or certain situation, but something else might intimidate you. The devil will misuse whatever is intimidating you to steal from you, to steal your boldness and your confidence. So even if you're really experienced in something, even if you have 5 degrees, the devil can still make you feel stupid. Okay, that is what a spirit of intimidation does. He comes for you and he will try and try and try until he finds a gap where he can intimidate you and steal your boldness. I remember 2 years ago, I felt God wanted me to get involved in the worship team again. I was involved in the Stellenbosch worship team for about 10 years and then in Tigerberg for another 2 years. So I actually had a lot of experience in terms of playing in a band and worship leading and all of these things. And I remember being so intimidated. Coming back, having to do this and it was not the people. Nobody was trying to intimidate me. It was something that wanted to keep me from what God wanted me to do. Okay, does it make sense to you? So in the natural, I shouldn't have been intimidated. Because I had the experience. I knew I could do it. But somehow the devil wanted to keep me out of it by intimidating me, by saying to me, they don't need you, they're fine on their own. Why do you want to now interfere? You know, all of these kind of thoughts. And he intimidates you by any kind of thought or emotion because he wanted to keep me out of joining the band again. Because God wanted me to pursue something that he's called me to do, and the devil wanted to keep me out of it. All right? That is how a spirit of intimidation works. So regardless of your experience, your 5 degrees that you have, regardless of all the your previous life experience, or regardless if you are by nature a confident or a bold person, the devil can still look for that thing where he can intimidate you. Okay, intimidating spirit unleashes confusion, discouragement, and frustration. Its goal is to cause you to lose your proper perspective. Everything will seem overwhelming, difficult, or even impossible. This is what a spirit of intimidation does. It's very camouflaged and subtle. So sometimes we feel the effect of intimidation, but we do not know the roots. We do not know what is this? What am I dealing with? So the effect of intimidation can be depression. It can be a heaviness. It can be anxiety. It can be panic attacks. It can be insomnia. It can even be just the anger, you know, towards somebody. Or just emotions that you don't always understand. And then sometimes we fight against the depression, or we fight against the panic or the anxiety, but the root of it could be intimidation. It's a very subtle kind of thing that wants to steal your peace, wants to steal your joy, wants to steal your confidence, and wants to keep you out of God's plan and purposes for your life. Okay, does it make sense to you? All right. So how do we deal with intimidation? How do we deal with this? We first need to identify that it is intimidation that we're talking about. All right? If you're going to feel depressed or heavy or anxious, we don't always realize that this is intimidation coming for us. Okay? And it normally not always, but often comes through a person. It can even just be a difficult child in your class. It can be your own children manipulating or intimidating you. It could be any kind of situation where you feel overwhelmed, where you feel anxious and depressed, but you don't really know what's going on. So we need to identify that this is intimidation that we're talking about, and then we also need to make war. Okay, it's an enemy. It's not our friend. Intimidation is not our friend. It's our enemy. Okay, so let's look at a scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. You all should be familiar with this one. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, and we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So, we are in a war. We're not always aware of it, but there's a natural realm, and there's a spiritual realm, and there's forever a fight between darkness and light. And the moment we move over to light, God calls us out of darkness into light, we are in a war. We are in a war. And sometimes the devil it's so subtle that it all just feels natural. You know, that my husband, you know, it's just, you know, we don't see the, or my wife, you know, she's the problem. Or my child, or my boss, you know, it's my boss, you know, I have a horrible boss. But in the meantime, the devil uses your boss or your husband or your wife or your child or a situation at work to bring intimidation, to intimidate you out of your position of authority, out of your position of strength, out of your position of confidence. And we just see the person and we don't see the devil just using random people to come for our hearts. So, why is it so important to make war against the spirit? Why is it so important to make war? There's two reasons, I believe. First of all, the devil wants to convince you that it's your personality. Okay? It's your kind of personality. You don't speak in front of people. You are kind of soft, or it's just not your cup of tea, or the devil will try anything to tell you that whatever is happening now, the reason why you act the way you do is it's your personality. And it's never going to change. You can never have victory over this because it's your personality. Okay, can any one of you identify with this? Because definitely in my life, the devil has over and over told me, "Sonika, it's your personality. It's who you are. So gemaak en so gelaat staan." You know? This is who you are. You're not going to change. And you can't do anything about it. So just live with it. Just live with it. Make a peace with it. This is who you are. It's a very subtle lie from the devil to get you to sit in the corner and not do anything. Not ever move out of your comfort zone. Not ever take a risk. Not ever move from a place where you are scared to just doing it afraid, even if you feel you're going to die. Okay? The devil wants to convince you that it's your personality and that you just can't overcome this. But even though he wants to keep you in your comfort zone where you feel safe, he's tormenting you in your place of comfort. So it's not a nice place to be, even though you never risk and you stay in your comfort zone and you can't confront the spirit of intimidation. It's still a place where the devil torments you with the effect of intimidation, like fear, anxiety, depression, even things like insomnia or panic attacks. It's not always a spirit of intimidation. I'm just saying often these things are manifested, or the root is a spirit of intimidation, and then it manifests in different ways. Okay, so the first reason is the devil wants to convince us that it's our personality and we can't do anything about it. That is why we need to make war against it. Okay? The second reason is the devil wants to steal our calling, our purpose, our destiny. God has called you for great things, for all of you. But if the devil can get you into a corner and manipulate you and lie to you and tell you this is where you're going to stay for the rest of your life because you're just not able. You're never going to change. It's your personality. Your mother was like this. Your grandmother was like this. You're going to be like this for the rest of your life. If he can lie to you, he will keep you out of God's will and out of God's ways for your life. Okay, so I just want to ask Ashley just to share something that she experienced when she joined the church, 5 years ago. Just a journey that she experienced that's very much related to this in her area of her life. Thanks, Ash.
Yeah, well, like Sonika said, for those of you who don't know, my name's Ashley. And yeah, she asked me to share with you guys about something that used to really cripple me. And I always knew who God was, but I didn't have a relationship with him. And with relationship comes talking to the person. And God likes personal intimacy where you and him just talk. But he also likes communal intimacy where you get together and you pray as friends and you dive deeper into God's heart and you pray for each other and you trust God for words for each other and that. And yeah, I mean, that all sounds very wonderful except for the fact that I became a mute every time I had to speak in front of people. And, ooh, I'm shaking. Yeah, every time I had to speak in front of people, I just went silent, and the intimidation and the anxiety and the fear just consumed me. I mean, I remember going to cell, and something as simple as sharing how my week was this monstrous task, and my heart would beat, and my ears would ring, and I would develop these very unfortunate sweat pits. and, yeah, I mean, that's not even talking about praying in front of people, like a little group of three people. Yeah, it was just, I was so consumed by anxiety and fear of making myself vulnerable in front of people. And I'll never forget about 4 years ago when Andres asked me to share my testimony at Lavender Blue when the church was there. He had to give me a whole month in advance to prepare. And how I agonized over those 5 minutes for that whole month that I was going to share. Like, I had sleepless nights, and I tossed and I turned, and I still remember that Sunday when I woke up. Services were in the evening at that stage, and I woke up that morning, and I couldn't even get out of bed. I was paralyzed by the fear of speaking in front of people. And, I mean, I had a full-on panic attack, and, yeah, I was, like, trapped in my room. I couldn't leave my room. And I mean, I know to some of you this sounds very over the top and dramatic, quite drama queen-like, but I know that there are a lot of you who can relate to what I'm saying. And for others, maybe your paralyzing fear isn't talking in front of people. It takes the shape or form of something else. But Satan really will do anything in his power to shift our focus off of God. And the oldest trick in the book is fear. Yeah, so the how I started overcoming this fear was shifting my focus, was detaching myself from the fearful situation and attaching myself to God. And there were three things that I used. The first thing was scriptures. I researched all the scriptures on fear, and I would say them over and over and over again until they became heart knowledge and not just head knowledge. And the second thing was prophecies. Over the years, I received quite a few prophecies about speaking in front of people, and initially I laughed and I thought, it's ridiculous. But those prophecies are the things that I go back to on a regular basis like situations like now where I'm going to speak in front of people and I hold on to them and I declare them and I'm like, this is what God says. I'm not fearful. I will not be paralyzed by this. I will not be made crippled by this fear. And the third thing is the Holy Spirit. Now we know that the Holy Spirit enables us to do things that we can't necessarily do in the natural. It gives us power and boldness and courage to step out in areas that intimidate us or make us feel weak. So for me, I just decided that I'm no longer going to give the power, because we have the choice. We choose what we're going to give power to. And I was no longer going to give that power over to fear. And it doesn't mean that I'm not fearful anymore. I'm still very nervous speaking in front of people. But I no longer give it the power to cripple me and prevent me, because Satan used it to silence me. I was silenced by the fear of man. And I made the choice that I'm not going to walk out in what God has called me to because of fear. So yes, I still have to do a lot of self-talk and I have to spend a lot of time at God's feet when I know that I'm going to share something. But it just shows that you can step away from it. You don't have to be trapped by fear.
So 5 years ago, the devil would have convinced her, it's your personality. You can't speak. You can't even share your week with six other girls. 5 years later, she's speaking in front of all of you. So is it a personality? No. No. I have so many people saying to me, it's just not their thing. And I'm not saying everybody should preach. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying all of us should become motivational speakers. It's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that if God wants you to pursue something and the devil is intimidating you out of that place, nothing will keep the Lord from fulfilling his plans unless we submit to a spirit of intimidation. You know, unless we sit in the corner and we make it our friend almost, because it's our safe place. It's my personality. I don't do that. Sorry. I'll do other things. But in the meantime, you feel kind of led. You feel that God wants you to step out. But the spirit of intimidation wants to keep you where you've always been. And you hide sometimes behind your personality. You say, it's my personality. And this is exactly where the devil wants to keep you. So let's just look at a few weapons. Ashley touched on them very practically, how she received freedom. But one weapon, you know, let's go back to that scripture just quickly. It says the weapons we fight with in 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. So we are in a war, but we do not wage war as the world does. So we are in a war, but the weapons we use and the way we do warfare is different than what people would model to us at work, even at home sometimes, or at school. We fight a fight, but it's a different kind of a fight. Okay, because Jesus actually fought on behalf of us. When he died at the cross, he destroyed the works of the devil. And we can follow in his footsteps. Okay, so the devil is a liar. He's a liar. He's got no power over you. If you are a born-again Christian, the power that the devil has over you is to lie to you. He's lying to you. He cannot do anything to you. God is greater. So if I say we need to make war, and if I say we are in a war, it's not to make the devil look glamorous or to make evil look big. Okay? Our God is greater. Our God is more powerful than any kind of a demonic spirit or any kind of thing that can come our way. God is bigger. God is stronger and he lives inside of you. But it's still a war that we need to fight according to the weapons that God gives to us. Okay, so let's just look at a few weapons. The first one actually mentioned is prophecy. It's a word. It's a it's maybe not even a word that somebody else has given you, but it's a word that you have received from God. It's a scripture that you read and it came alive. But also a word of prophecy that somebody else would prophesy over you. Like at Awaken, for example, when you go to the Awaken conference, you'll receive a little bookmark with a prophetic word that somebody has prayed for you and said, God, show me. Show me something for this woman. Similar to what we did last year at our ladies' weekend, where all the men, thank you for all the men who prayed, by the way. You guys were awesome. And let me just tell you, the women's lives were changed by those words. I mean, some of them were so spot on. Some of them were confirmations of previous words that they have received. And it's a prophetic word is just, I'm going to now pray for somebody, and I'm going to trust the Lord to show me something about this person from his heart. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Corinthians, we should desire all the spiritual gifts, but the one that we should desire most is to prophesy, because it unlocks our future. It unlocks something in our heart. It gives us boldness. It gives us a tool, a weapon against the spirit of intimidation. Last year, I did a session at our Shofar conference. Not many of you know about it. It was just like one of the electives in the afternoons. And it was very much out of my comfort zone. Okay, it was very much out of my comfort zone. I was one of the, I think, two or three women who spoke at the conference. And I was very much out of my comfort zone. And Rosie gave me a word. Some other people gave me words as well. But her word gave me so much boldness. She emailed me. She said, Sonika, I have a word for you. And the word just gave me so much boldness about how God has chosen me to do this, how he's going to just equip me. And I received words from other people saying that God will put his words in my mouth, because I was so worried about it all the time, that what if, you know, what if I don't say what God wants me to say? There's so many things we can speak about. And I received words saying that God will put his words in my mouth. Not one word, I think at least four, saying the same thing. It broke the spirit of intimidation, because it spoke right into my heart and into my spirit, and it gave me confidence and boldness. Something God showed me for Awaken that is so special. I prayed the other day. Awaken is another big, big step for me out of my comfort zone. That stage is big. Let me tell you, last year there was 1,600 women. It's a big, big stage. All the lights are on you, and you can't see the people because it's all dark. It's intimidating, okay? I prefer speaking to you. Yeah, where it's all light, and I can stand on the floor, and I can just share. There, it's a different kind of a story. So God showed me. I prayed. I said, Lord, you need to help me with this. I'm not doing this on my own. And God showed me a picture of an angel. And it's also a confirmation of a word Adele had for me. Also about a key. God showed me a picture of an angel. He showed me the Awaken Hall. All the women, you know, to chat before my session, like just women can do. And God showed me an angel with a little golden key flying from the one woman to the other, unlocking their hearts, just before I'm going to speak. You know, and I can't tell you how much peace it brings to my heart that God says, Sonika, I'm going to open their hearts. You just speak. Just be yourself. Relax. Forget about whatever, impressing anybody. I'm going to open their hearts. And for me, it brought so much boldness and confidence. So that is the power of a prophetic word can break the spirit of intimidation, because it can change your perspective immediately. So I would encourage you, please, go back to the words that were spoken over your life. Those words that you wrote in a little book, and it's somewhere on your shelf, and there's lots of dust on it. Please go and Go and read it again. Meditate on them. Make it part of your heart. And if you need a word from the Lord, say, God, I need you to speak to me. Use whatever you want, but I need a word, Lord. I need your heart for me. Amen. So that's our first weapon. Second weapon is truth. Psalm 100, oh, my scripture, I just need to read you this. 1 Timothy 1:18. Look at this. This is profound. It's the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. Timothy was a young man who had to deal with a church, and he was intimidated by the people. And the Apostle Paul said to him, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Isn't that powerful? We fight with the prophecies God has given us. We don't fight against people. We don't lose our temper. We don't storm out of a building and slam doors, you know, like many people do warfare. We go back to our prophecies and we fight the good warfare with the word God has given us. Amen. Second weapon, truth. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart. That is the first part of that scripture. Your word I have hidden in my heart. You see, the word of God, if the word of God is on our lips and in our hearts, if we meditate on it day and night, the Holy Spirit will bring it to our remembrance when we need it. When the spirit of intimidation comes, the word of God is in our hearts. You know, like there's a scripture in Hebrews. It will be on the screen. Hebrews 13 verse 5 and 6. It says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, we can boldly say, God is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Okay, so if you know that, if it's in your heart, the Holy Spirit will bring it to you the moment where there's a confrontation or an intimidating situation. It will say, God's never going to leave you. He's with you. You can boldly say, God's my helper. I'm not going to fear now. What can this person do to me? But we need to know the word. We need to read the word. We need to study the word. We need to meditate on the word. And we need to memorize the word. We need to know scriptures off by heart. Don't worry if you don't know the whole Bible. Get 5 scriptures and memorize them. It's going to benefit you. It's going to change your life because it's a weapon. It's a weapon God gives to us in a war situation. The Holy Spirit will just drop it in your heart. But therefore, you need to know them. You need to know them. I want to challenge all of you. Get yourself 5 scriptures. Memorize them. I remember one day, Andre and I were driving, and we were driving past this as kind of a scenery that reminded me of Psalm 23. It was a couple of years ago. And I was trying to quote Psalm 23, trying to go through it in my mind, and I just realized, I don't know it. It reminded me so much of Psalm 23, and I was kind of drawn to quoting the scripture, and I didn't know it. And I said to myself that day, I'm going to learn it, I'm going to memorize it, I'm going to get it in my heart, because I was so confronted with God is now wanting to speak to me through this beautiful scenery. He wants to use his word to do something in my heart, and I don't know it. So I want to challenge all of you. Get yourself 5 scriptures and memorize it. It's going to change your life. It's a weapon. Our third weapon is the Spirit. Ashley touched on that as well. Zechariah 3 verse 6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit. It's not by might. This war is not by might. It's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And if we read in the book of Acts 4:31, the disciples were praying, and then all of a sudden, the place where they were sitting was shaken. Imagine our church being shaken. We all will get a fright, I suppose, but it happened in the early church. It can still happen today, so don't fear, okay? If our church ever gets shaken, Just edit that out of there. It's got nothing to do with my message. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and when they after that, they all spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, that boldness is, when you go back to the root word of that boldness, it means an outspokenness, unreserved utterance, freedom of speech, cheerful courage, the opposite of cowardice, timidity, or fear. It's not a human quality. It's the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I committed my life to God when I was 13 years old. What an honor, you know, to do it as a teenager. I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 16 years old. That event in my life of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it had a bigger impact than the day I committed my life to the Lord. And the one thing that changed in me is I received a measure of boldness that I'm still growing into, but that day, a big portion of the fear of man was broken over my life. That is what the infilling of the Holy Spirit does. And some of you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's your weapon. Some of you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, and you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's nothing weird. We talk about it at our Encounter 1, especially in Part 2. We teach you all about the Holy Spirit. We pray for you. It's nothing weird. One thing that's maybe a little bit weird is God can give you a tongue, which means you're going to speak in a language that you've never spoken before. But there's nothing weird about it. It's the most... For me, it was an incredible transformation in my walk with the Lord. And the one big thing that changed is I received a measure of boldness that I've never had before. Some of you must be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can even pray for you today. Some of you must pray in your tongue. Some of you must dedicate more time to praying in the Spirit. You know what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It gives you gym membership in the Spirit. But how many of us have gym membership and we don't go to the gym in the natural? I don't want to see any hands. But I know it happens. People are very excited in January and then they join a gym and then in April, you know, life hits and it's whatever. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and God has blessed you with a language, a prayer language, that you can unlock things in the Spirit, please use that gift. Please use it. Please make time. It's wonderful when you drive in your car and when you're alone, perfect time to pray in the Holy Spirit. It's a weapon. It's a tool. It's a gift. So some of us must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of us must just pray in the language God has given us. It's a weapon, okay? It's a powerful weapon. Our fourth weapon, the last one I'm going to talk about, is authority. Luke 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God has given us authority. And Andres had a whole sermon on authority a few weeks ago that was really powerful. But we have to walk in authority. So what I do, if I think I'm going to end up in a potential intimidating situation that intimidated me in the past, I don't just arrive there passively and think, okay, this time it's going to be different, I've grown, it's a year later. No. I, beforehand, at home, I say, spirit of intimidation, I make war against you. You're not going to intimidate me. I will not be intimidated. I will not fear. So when I come to the meeting, or when I come to the situation, I'm ready. It doesn't mean that the spirit of intimidation is now going to back off completely. He might try his luck, you know, through a person, or a difficult scenario, or whatever. But then you're ready. You're peaceful, you're joyful, you're confident. So if you know that you're going to end up in a meeting at school or at work, or you have a person, a specific person that you just feel intimidated by that person, and you know you must see him tomorrow or her tomorrow, you pray before that meeting. Say, God, I take in the name of Jesus authority over the spirit of intimidation. It's not the person. Okay, I know people can sometimes be bit, you know, rough diamonds. You know, some people can be intimidating by nature. But whatever comes for your heart is not the person. You can have a five-year-old child that intimidates you. And it's not the child or the person, it's a spirit using a particular personality to intimidate you. So you must be ready. Okay? You must be ready for that. Have communion in your office. Have communion in your classroom. Do whatever it takes, but be ready. Claim your ground. I used to anoint my phone when I was still working at PricewaterhouseCoopers in Stellenbosch. I used to anoint my phone and say, every phone call I get, I will not be intimidated. Because sometimes a phone call, I tell you, or an email can be so intimidating. You can't hear tone of voice. You don't know what's going on. Is the person cross with you? Are you in trouble? What's going on? Especially if you work with clients all the time and you have different kind of bosses, you know, blowing in your ear. Just claim your ground. Claim your ground. You have authority. Go to your classroom. I know Andres mentioned as well in the last couple of weeks, if you're a teacher, go early. Go when there's nobody in your class yet. Take a little bit of oil. There's no power in oil, but it's symbolic, where you can just say, Lord, this area, it's my area. And because I'm your child, I take authority over any manipulation, intimidation, or any kind of spirit that wants to steal my peace and my joy. Do it. It's gonna change your environment. It's gonna change the whole atmosphere in your class. Even if you need to do it every day or every week, go for it. Do it. One last story, then I'm finished. There was one client in a different client. It seems as if all my clients were intimidating, but I had a really, really one big intimidating client in Stellenbosch. And they were all, I was the only woman in the boardroom when we had meetings. And it was a very intimidating scenario, especially in the beginning when I was just at assistant manager level. It was very intimidating. So I remember going to the boardroom where the audit team would sit. I would go there early on a Monday morning, like 6:30 or 6 o'clock, when nobody is there yet. I would tag in, I would go to the boardroom, I would walk up and down, and I say, God, I take authority over this place, because I was so intimidated that I wasn't myself. I couldn't flow in my natural giftings because the whole place was just so intimidating. Even the audit partner, it was just a very stressful kind of environment. I would go in, I would say, I would take authority in the name of Jesus. I will not be fearful. I will not be intimidated. God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will not fear. You have not given me a spirit of fear. You have given me a spirit of power and of love. And of a sound mind. That is why we need to know scripture. So do whatever it takes to fight with these four weapons. To come against the spirit of intimidation. Go back to the words of prophecy that you have received. Go memorize your five scriptures. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray for you this morning. Otherwise you need to attend Encounter 1. It's going to change your life. If you're not praying in the Spirit regularly, you must start praying today. Okay, make a time. Put time aside just to pray in your prayer language. And you have to walk in your authority. If you're a parent this morning, do not be intimidated by your children. Walk in your authority as a parent. If you're a husband here this morning, do not be intimidated if you feel that your wife is maybe a bit more spiritually focused than you. Do not be intimidated by that. God has called you to be the leader of your home. You are the leader of your home. You are the head of your home. Walk in your authority. Walk in your authority. Even if you feel intimidated by your wife who knows 50 scriptures and you know 2. Walk in your authority. God has placed on you a responsibility, a capacity to lead, a capacity to just to break open the ground for your family. Don't let anything intimidate you as a dad or as a mom in terms of your kids. Walk in your authority. Walk in your authority. Amen? You can stand with me. Let's just focus on the Lord. Let's just give the Holy Spirit a few minutes just to do what He wants to do. Father, I thank You that You are our source of victory. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by Your Spirit. And this morning, God, I consecrate all of these precious people to You. Father, You know their battles. You know their victories, Lord. And I pray that their battles will become more and more victorious in Jesus' name. As we fight this good fight of faith. Not with the weapons of this world, but with the weapons You give to us. So Lord, this morning, we just want to take authority over the spirit of intimidation. I just feel we need to pray in the Spirit. So for those of you who can pray in the Spirit, just join me. Just pray in the Spirit softly, but just all pray in the Spirit. If you can, if you can't, it's fine. Just pray in the Spirit with me. I just feel we need to take authority. We need to stand together this morning. And on behalf of our brother and sister, we just need to take authority over the spirit of intimidation. God, we just press in and we make war this morning. We make war this morning against anything that terrifies us, Lord. Anything that intimidates us out of our calling, out of our destiny, out of our purpose. We make war against it. We make war against it in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, that You give us authority to be bold, to be confident. Lord, I just release a boldness. I release a confidence over all of these people, Lord, these precious people who seek Your heart and who seek Your face. I release a boldness. I want to ask, is there anybody who feel that you battle with intimidation in some kind of way? Just quickly raise your hand. I just feel we need to break the power of that. I know there's lots of you. It can be any kind of intimidation. Okay, you can drop your hands. Okay, let's just pray in the Spirit. Let's just pray a bit louder. I just feel this is what we need to do now. Father, we take authority over any spirit of intimidation coming for us in the name of Jesus. God, I thank You that You have not given us a spirit of fear. You've given us a spirit of power and of love. And of a sound mind. So Lord, we just stand against that. We stand against anything, Lord, that we need to face that is intimidating, that is fearful, that is stealing from us, that is wanting to silence us. In the name of Jesus, we speak to You. Just speak to whatever is intimidating to you. Just speak to it. Just call it by name. Say, I will not be intimidated by that situation or that client or that person. I will not be intimidated. Just call it by name. Just call it by name. Just whatever is intimidating you, just make war against it. God, I thank You that You are our strength. You are our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? You are the strength of our life, God. Of whom will we be afraid? You are our rock. You are our deliverer. I just speak deliverance, Lord. To people who are tormented here, I just speak deliverance to every person who is being tormented by a spirit of fear. Is there anybody who battles to sleep at night? Just quickly raise your hand. Okay. God, we just make war against a spirit of insomnia in the name of Jesus. We make war against any kind of sleeplessness, any attack on our lives to steal our sleep. We make war against you, devil. We declare that your time is up. We declare that we will sleep. We will sleep well in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that it's our inheritance as Your children. And I just also want to say, I feel God says, you are entitled to a good night's rest. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, you're not. It's just one of those things. You are one of those people who battle to sleep. No, I just feel God is saying, it's your inheritance. It's part of His covenant with us. You will sleep well. So Father, we just declare that we will sleep well. And everybody is battling with insomnia. Lord, we take authority. whatever kind of root there is, God, whatever kind of force there is behind it, we just speak peaceful sleep in the name of Jesus. Peaceful sleep. Thank you, God, that you are greater, that you are stronger than anything that we can face. We worship you, God. We worship you. We honor you. Father, I also just want to ask, is there anybody that you feel that you have panic attacks from time to time? That you feel that there's... Okay, anybody else? Okay. Let's just address that as well. Just keep on praying in the Spirit, please. Father, we just come against any kind of panic attack that comes for us. God, you know we are battling with this, Lord. And I also just know that this is not our inheritance. This is not our inheritance. So, Father, we just take authority over any panic that comes all of a sudden. It comes all of a sudden and we don't know how to cope. We speak to it in the name of Jesus. We speak to this mountain and we say, move. Move in Jesus' name. You will not torment us any longer. You will not steal our joy. You will not steal our peace. We speak against every spirit of intimidation that brings panic, that brings insomnia, that brings depression. Is there anybody who battles with depression? You constantly, you battle to get free. Anybody else? Okay, Father, we just speak against that as well. We speak against the spirit of depression in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for deliverance. I pray for deliverance for everybody, Lord, who's battling with us year in and year out. Year in and year out. Thank you that you are stronger, Lord. Thank you that you are stronger. I just feel that there's somebody here, you're battling with depression for the last 4 years. You're on and off medication. And you, at the moment, you don't know what to do. Should you go on medication again or should you leave it altogether? Is there anybody like that? You're battling with depression for the last 4 years. You're on and off medication. Anybody like that? I know it's a bit sensitive. Anybody? I just feel God... Okay, thank you. I just feel God wants to set you free this morning. Okay, so if I can pray for you afterwards, let's just all pray together against this. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are stronger than depression. I thank you, Lord, that even after 4 years, even after 10 years, God, you are strong. You are able to break the power of something that torments us, Lord. So I just release life. I just release peace, Lord. I just release joy. Your joy is our strength, Lord, and we just release it this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you, God.